T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, there's a little something going on with Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a big, you know, a little something or a big something? I guess that would be the question to start.
Well, I think it's a big something. And to talk about all the ramifications, we've brought on Gil Barndollar, a fellow at Defense Priorities and the military fellow in residence at Catholic University's American Center for the Study of Statesmanship. Gil, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
We're good, thanks. If you're looking at this conflict and what it might entail and what might happen, if there's a scale of 1 being red hot and 10 being not that big of a deal, right, where do you put this?
Hey, I hate to put a number on it, but I would say you're kind of sitting at maybe like a 7 right now.
If we're gonna
simplify it to that. I mean, we really don't know, right? Everyone's waiting for the other shoe to drop and what the Iranians are going to do in return.
Right.
But certainly there's been nothing of this magnitude since 86, since the naval, you know, tanker wars and that kind of stuff, and arguably since the revolution itself in 79.
I think the other thing, here's what I find curious. As you know, he was in, Soleimani was, in fact, in Baghdad. He flew into the airport and was, you know, killed nearby. But, you know, how many years were Iraq and Iran at war, and what is the relationship between Iraq and Iran now?
Well, it's more complicated than the simple. Sometimes you hear, you know, Iran was the biggest beneficiary of us overthrowing Saddam Hussein. That's true, and the Iranians and Iraqis are united by religion, in the sense that the largest in terms of Iraq sectarianism, right? The Shia are the biggest ethnic group, or the biggest religious group,
right?
Really, and so there's that affinity. A big chunk of the Iraqi political class were spent time in Iran, either political exiles or in religious education there. So that affinity is really strong. And the Iranians have a tremendous amount of influence and even arguably control in Iraq. But it's not as simple as the Iranians call all the shots in Iraq. The Sunnis and the Kurds oppose Iranian influence, and even a lot of Shias are still Iraqis, still Iraqi nationalists, and Arabs. The Arab-Persian ethnic divide is part of the equation.
Glad you brought that up.
Right.
Because, the Iranians, remember the Persian Empire. I mean, that's what they're thinking of somewhere in the back of their mind. Does that have anything to do with it? Kind of like you hear people want to bring back the Emirate, you know, the Ottoman Empire. What's going, you know, does that still figure into their mind? Because they do have, I've got to say, doing some research yesterday, they have some amazing world historic sites in Iran.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the, you know, foundational cultures in certainly the Middle East and the world, really. Yeah, and I think the Iranians are justly proud people, no question about it. But this kind of trope, you sometimes see that they're reconstituting the Persian Empire or the Shia crescent,
Lebanon,
and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's a lot of that sometimes gets used as an excuse to, it's used to drum up fear against Iran in some way. So I think that sometimes that becomes a little simplistic.
So do you think the decision by the Iraqi government to expel U.S. troops came from Iran, or do you think this was done on their own?
I don't know if it came directly from. I mean, we got to consider too that it wasn't just Soleimani that was killed, right? I mean, Mohandas, who was the deputy head of the PMFs and who ran Kataib Hezbollah. Like that guy, yes, is an Iranian proxy and takes his marching orders from Tehran and all that. But that guy is a general in the Iraqi armed forces. I mean, the PMFs are being integrated into the Iraqi military. They're sort of these militias that got spun up in a hurry to save Iraq from ISIS, really, right, with Iranian direction and money. But the PMFs are part of the Iraqi security state increasingly, and they're in the Iraqi budget and all that. So we killed one of their generals, however much he may have been somebody else's agent, on their own soil outside their own airport. So, I mean, that's not nothing, you know.
We're with Gil Barndollar, who's a fellow, Defense Priorities. He's at Military Fellow in Residence at Catholic University of America and their Center for the Study of Statesmanship. So, okay, Joe asked you a while ago, you know, okay, on a 1 to 10 scale, where do you put this, da-da-da-da-da. I imagine what one being the worst, Joe?
I said one was the best.
Okay.
No. Gil made it a seven.
Okay. So my question is, one of the things that started to pop up was, oh my God, here we go, it's World War III. Is that a realistic fear?
No, I don't. I don't think World War III is. I mean, I don't think we're talking about. There's only two countries on Earth that are existential threats: the United States, right? Russia and China. And neither one of them wants a war either, right? I mean, Iran is a middling power that can do certain things really well. It's certainly orders of magnitude more important and more dangerous to Americans than Iraq or Afghanistan. We fought, call it what it is, kind of, you know, third, fourth caliber JV opposition in two wars we didn't win, right?
Right.
But, I mean, no question about it. But Iran is a very, very different threat, but they're not 10 feet tall either, and they're certainly not a threat to the United States existentially. But the Russians and the Chinese are not getting involved if there is a full blown war with Iran.
Right.
They would enjoy it, though. They'd be looking at lists.
Sure, they'd be cheering.
Waste money and lives.
Right.
So that's,
what do you think is the biggest threat we face from Iran? What kind of retaliation?
Yeah, go. That's good.
You want biggest or most likely? I mean, I'd say.
Let's say most likely.
Biggest threat would be oil market stuff and trying to close the Strait of Hormuz and the impact that would have. I think most likely is much more. I mean, Khamenei said, I think today or yesterday, that the Iranian response will be proportional and military. So I think they're more likely to do, you know, I hate to kind of play guesswork on these things, but I think they're more likely to do something in the region, certainly, and maybe something in Iraq. Again, they have so much influence and so many proxies in Iraq. They can target American servicemen, which is a much better way to go about doing things than trying to attack civilian targets for a variety of reasons. And they have to be very vulnerable. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And we've got 6,000, give or take, American troops in Iraq who are surrounded by Iranian proxies, who are out on a limb there, who are very vulnerable. And we need to really pull those guys out of there instead of just waiting for an Iranian strike that we have,
apparently yesterday they posted a bunch of pictures of Trump properties. Mar-a-Lago, for one. You know, is that it? They're going to blow up hotels or something? I guess they could.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, they certainly could strike on U.S. soil. And they have, the IRGC has global reach, has famously, you know, bombed bombings in Argentina and Europe and especially in Asia as well. I don't think they would escalate to that level right off the bat. I mean, that's a huge step to attack American soil. I think that's kind of social media trolling and just raising the temperature there.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Sure.
It's something they could do, but I don't see that happen.
Wow.
Hey, Gil, thanks for providing us a good insight on this. Gil Barndollar from American University. Thank you.
Educational and fun.
Yeah, very good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.